Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's Word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a great day it is. It's a Tuesday. We get one a week, and we're going to use it to the extent we can, especially in this hour. We're going to squeeze every possible work of God and the Holy Spirit in this hour for you, the listener. We're excited about this. In a moment, I'm going to introduce my co-hosts, and I'm going to then, after that, do my introduction for the theme for today. But first, we have a dear sister in Christ that has been on the air with us many times, Kellyanne Conway. And Kellyanne, for those that don't immediately remember, a lovely lady delivered from alcohol and drugs and sexual issues over these last many years, following the Lord in great power of the Holy Spirit, doing some wondrous work with women especially, and women in the jails, and has brought a lot of people to Christ. Recently, she wrote a book. It's entitled Restored to Reign, Walking in Purity, Power, and Purpose, and wrote a companion workbook for that. We had her on the air here a couple of weeks ago on the Monday program. We talked about that. Actually, I got a copy of the book. It's primarily women, focused on women, but there's enough good Holy Spirit stuff in there that I bought the book, and I'm going to get into it as well to see, because there's God's truth in there. But out of that book, Kellyanne has been led by the Spirit to open up an evening for women, what you might call a seminar or whatever. And that's going to be the 24th of July, which is a Friday. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. And the location is one you will find out if you want to try to get there and you RSVP at a specific website. And the email to the website, and I'm going to give you that right now. It's info@restoredtoreign.org. It's all one word, info@restoredtoreign.org. If you're interested in attending, there's a limited number of spaces, so you'd have to go on the website at that info@restoredtoreign.org and indicate your interest. You'll get an email back, and if there's room, you'll get the address of the event. So that's how Kellyanne set it up. I strongly recommend you to pray about it, and pray about it real soon and real quick, because the room may be taken up. So anyway, before I do my little intro, always, and I tell you, people think it's a setup. You know, do I really mean it when I say that it's a privilege and a pleasure to work with this crew? And I'm telling you, it's a blessing, and I'm humbled by, really, literally, and I mean it, I'm just humbled by the wonderful godly talent that he has gathered around this table. So with that, and I'm less humbled by myself, by the way. This is not an ego thing, but certainly the three that are here, just so blessed that we're able to work with you, starting with Keith Masters, brother. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Fantastic. Pray only because of God.
Amen.
Only because of God. If it was not, I don't know where I'd be. I'd be dead.
Yes.
It wasn't for what God's done with me the last 50 years of my life.
Absolutely.
Walking with it, I'd be dead. Mm. In fact, I'd have died several times. So give God the glory.
Amen.
You got anybody you want to shout out today?
Well, Josh said he's listening.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, shout out to Josh. JW's up in Michigan.
Is he?
Yeah. My friend Greg is up in New York. Yeah. So
thank you for listening.
Greg's a faithful listener. Up in New York.
Did he call one time?
He did. He did. Okay. He's on his journey.
Hallelujah. Well, Greg, I hope you're listening, brother.
Yep. Yep.
God bless you.
And bless his family.
Amen.
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 And Lance Winkler, who I must say is the voice of the intro, for the open and the close for this program.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that,
by the way. Biblical perspective.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good to be here today celebrating Tuesday. Amen. With you, David.
Thank you.
And I've got a shout out. Now, yeah. They're not going to hear it because they're up in Kansas City right now, but my nephew, my brother's
who just got saved.
29-year-old son. We mentioned that yesterday.
Is he listening?
Wow.
No, I don't think he probably is. He's probably at work right now, but
text him.
You can send him.
I need to text him.
Send him the recording.
I am going. I'm going to get him on the an app so he'll start listening. But just Amen. According to what we're talking about today, just started reading the Bible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With another guy, very skeptical, wow. cynical, and in about 3 months told his father, he says, I'm becoming a follower of Jesus Christ.
Wow, man.
Oh, great. Man, 29 years. We hooped and hollered a little bit.
I would.
And cried a little bit when we heard that. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Wow.
It's a good thing, and it's good to be here in the wake of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the only problem is today, I want this show to last at least all day because I got a root canal coming today.
Oh,
so
no.
If I can sit in here, I'll miss it.
Ouch.
Listen, you know what? Now I can help.
Okay.
There's got to be a couple YouTube videos on doing that.
Yeah.
And I've got tools in my vehicle. I think I can help you with that.
So, that's all right, David.
I use YouTube videos for everything else. Why not that?
Well, what's your joke about this, David? What was that little limerick or something?
Well, when you said you had a root canal, and I said, what did I say?
Visit the dentist in Venice.
They do great root canals.
Oh,
yeah, anyway. Man. Some people say, what? What?
I got it.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Okay. We'll let people think about that. But don't let it get in the way of what God is going to do through
please.
The program. And then, as always, last, and I always say this last but not least, is our own Ann Limhoko.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just wanted to announce, because we have our primary election coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Soon.
And today, so that's August 18th is our primary election. Mm-hmm. But on July 20th, so that's 6 days from now. Mm-hmm. So our listeners, if you want to register to vote and you haven't, you need to do that ASAP. Okay. It's not hard. Or if you want to change your party. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Florida, you can only vote via party if you pull a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot.
Right.
So if you're registered as a Democrat and you want to vote Republican, you have to officially change your party with the supervisor of elections office.
Yes.
So I'm just letting all our listeners know to go to the appropriate website for your county. And we're sitting in Martin County. So that would be Martin County Supervisor of Elections mm-hmm. to do that. And that's martinvotes.gov for those that are locally in this area.
Thank you.
I just want people to
vote.
Know that.
Do register. If you haven't registered, it's a right given to you.
Yes.
And you know, if people that don't vote, mm-hmm. you know, you look around.
Too many.
Yeah. Too many people don't vote.
Too many
Christians don't vote. Carry their biblical values.
By not voting, they're influencing this country.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you don't vote, it's a vote for the people you probably don't like what they're going to do, and you're going to complain about it in the next election.
But you don't have no right to complain.
You have no right to complain. Absolutely not.
But they're allowing this to happen.
They say it's one in four Christians don't vote. That's what the statistics say.
I think
now,
it's higher.
This is a great intro to what we're going to be talking about today.
Because the Bible does speak of getting involved civically, but go ahead and just intro the topic.
I have a few minutes of an intro here that will lay the groundwork, and then everybody else is going to dive in. But you know, our goal in the program is to take a look at things going on in America and the world, which can be challenging for some folks. I mean, let's face it, you know, not everything happens gives us peace. We view these events that we're looking at on the program through a biblical lens to reveal what we believe is a better means of dealing with those challenging events. So, during today's program, we're going to look through the biblical lens at biblical illiteracy in America and the impact that it's having on the health of our nation. So much of what we've reported on this program since its inception is either directly or obliquely connected to much of America's citizenry not having a regular encounter with the Word of God.
Mm.
Yeah. Some significant points along these lines. As the authoritative Word of God, the Bible is the primary means of knowing God and knowing His perfect will. It's also a spiritual venue for learning God's ways with and among humanity. On the personal level, reading the Bible prayerfully opens us up to a character of divine revelation mm-hmm. that we can't get any other way.
Right.
Yes.
And depending on the Holy Spirit to interpret what we read is crucial to our use of the Bible on a daily basis. And I would just add, kind of as a postscript to that comment, I don't care if there's 8 million translations of the Bible in every possible language or imagined language that anybody can come up with. The Holy Spirit of God mm-hmm. moves to interpret God's word for anybody that wants to know it.
Yes.
You know, and so this argument the left keeps throwing at is, well, you can't trust the Bible because it's been translated into so many languages over 2,000 years or more than that. Look, that is a load of you know what. I can't say that on the air. But it is that, and you can't believe that. In fact, a lot of people refuse to study the word because they believe that. I'll read it, but it's wrong. It's probably going to go. No, it's not. God is going to ensure that you understand what he wants you to know. That's going to be a blessing to you. So, America, we get back to this. We've said this before. America is a nation founded by God mm-hmm. on biblical principles. If we do not know the Bible, we don't know God. We don't understand those principles upon which the nation is built and which informs us even today. All the founding documents of America are informed by the Bible as directed through the Holy Spirit to those men who wrote them and spoke profoundly of them into the heart of the nation's birth and development. Anything which is meant to influence our nation in any way, such as laws and politics, which is not shaped by biblical values, creates an aberration in the stability of our culture.
Mm.
Considering the state, the current state, I should say, of American culture, with the sharp and painful divide politically and ideologically, we want to offer this biblical review as a means of inspiring you, our listener, to seek a closer inspection of God's word and a closer walk with him in these difficult times.
Amen.
And with that, I'm just going to open the floor
Amen.
To whoever wants to jump in.
Can I start with these facts?
Yeah.
Just facts that I wrote down about. These are just stats, basically. It's 66 books, the Bible is. It has 40 authors of these 66 books. They're a diverse group of writers. It includes kings and prophets and fishermen and scholars and people from all walks of life have written different books in this Bible. They wrote it over a period of roughly 1,500 to 2,000 years, and it was across three continents, in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
Mm-hmm.
It is the world's first and greatest hyperlinked book. It has over 63,700 cross-references
wow.
that you can find. It's speaking about itself. And how could that happen with 40 different authors penned over 1,500 to 2,000 years on three continents in three different languages? This the book is a miracle.
Yes.
It is a miracle in the hands of people.
Yes.
And I'm not sure everyone has a realization of that. So I just was really going to throw those facts out first if anybody wants to.
Very helpful.
Well, they don't have a factualization of that. And one of the things that you hear people say is that man wrote the Bible. But what they don't understand is that the Bible was written by the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So if you don't know God, you can't understand the Spirit of God, which is going to block your heart into understanding who God is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So until you come to ask for God's presence in your life, you're still, and we talk about this, you're still looking at the world through your own eyes.
Right, right.
You're not looking at the world through God's eyes, who created the world.
Right.
Right? Psalm 24, verse 1. Mm-hmm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And yes. all those that dwell therein.
Yes.
So, and we've said this before, if there's any question that anybody has to their life,
yes,
they can go and reference
the Word of God.
The Bible.
It's there.
It is there. The answer is there.
I'm 66 years old, and I'm telling you, the answer is there.
The answer is there.
It just came to me that 50 years ago in November coming up, my wife and I, we were attending a Bible study held at a dear friend's house, and we went there to, not to offend them, I think, because they were neighbors too, and we bought the property we're living on from them. They built behind us, so we got it. Put, I didn't realize that them and God put us there. But the pivot point for my wife and I was attending this Bible study to be nice to them. But in the course of that, people our own age, maybe the seven or eight of us, these people knew the Lord. They were born again. And what we heard was the Word of God had come to be alive to them through the work of the Holy Spirit. They spoke their faith when we studied that Bible.
Right. Amen.
That it was, and I now looking back, you said the Holy Spirit was inspiring them as we studied whatever sections of the Bible we were studying. That their report was a faithful response to what they knew to be the true and authentic and authoritative Word of God that had been mediated to them through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So it was after two or three, maybe four sessions we went to. Couldn't have been that many, because ordinarily I would have gotten up and said, that's enough. Thank you for the. But we from the house, walking back from their house to our house and coming inside, it was at that point I put my hand, my wife had gotten in. She was sitting on the couch. I think she was processing too. I have my hand to close the door. I'm ready to lock it. And the Spirit of God speaks to me. I'm hearing God in my head saying, David, it's all true. What you've been studying, the Word of is the Word. It's my Word. It's all true. Mm-hmm. Everything it says about Jesus, me, it's all true. Everything it says about everybody else, it's all true. Yeah. And I was so overwhelmed. And that was the Holy Spirit authenticating what I then soon came to accept myself, that the Bible is and always has been and always will be the authoritative Word of God. It spoke to us.
Yeah.
And it was in those words that brought us to the foot of the cross to embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
That's my testimony.
Yes.
And I'm not alone. It wasn't, you know.
I just want to, were you going to say something?
No,
I just want to ask our listeners these two questions, because this is what came up as I was praying and researching yesterday. Do you have confidence of God's Word? Okay, if you have confidence of God's Word, and as like Keith said, if you have some sort of problem and you need an answer, you would be picking up the Word of God if you had confidence in God's Word. And then I want to ask our listeners, how do you view God's Word? Do you view it as something that's living and active, as it says in Hebrew? Because it's living and it's actually active. And we can go into the Logos, which is the written Word of God, but then you have the Rhema, which is the inspired now Word that the Holy Spirit will give you as you read the Word. Mm-hmm. You guys know Logos and Rhema, right? So I think even people who are listening may be longtime Christians, because this is a Christian radio station. And have we lost our awe of God's Word?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like if we lack peace, that, you know, like, and that will happen. We need to focus on Him, because He keeps us in perfect peace. And it's the Word of God that will keep us in that peace that nobody can give us, a peace that only the Word of God can, and the Spirit of God can only give us the peace that we need to go through this world, through this time, through this, you know, it's a hard time to be living because of all the things that are coming at us. But if you really have the confidence of God's Word, and if you view God's Word in, you know, viewing it as something that endures forever, and like David said, is true, then you're picking it up and you're standing on it, even when it doesn't look like it. Because as Christians, we are called to live a life of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So something that, you know, let's say the Lord gave you a prophecy. He's given me a couple and it still has not come to fruition. But I know in the spirit, it's been done. But I trust in the Word of God that when He says something, and what book is this in? When He says something, He has to fulfill the purpose for which it was sent. Where's that in?
The word will not go forth void, but it will fulfill that which He is purposed it to do. Yeah.
So I think it's
caught
just
me off guard.
This challenges me, because sometimes, you know, we have how many Bibles in our homes?
Right.
You know, Keith was talking, he's got some in his car. You know, I got some in my car. I got some in my backpack. I got some in my bedroom. I got some in my house.
On my phone.
But are we not revering it, the Word of God, where people died to even translate the Word of God?
It's so close to us today.
Yes.
It's just in the other room, and we think of it like that. You know, we talk on here about issues that we're facing in the world. We talk about them every week. We come in and we complain about, and what are we going to do about it? Today, I was excited to come in and say, here is the answer to all of those complaints.
Amen.
Every single one of them, and even if you don't think it has no bearing, this Word of God has no bearing on what's happening with communism or socialism, it has everything to do. As David mentioned, first of all, the nation was built on these biblical principles.
Absolutely.
If you don't know the Bible, then you can't see it in our Declaration and in the division of powers and in the Constitution. You can't see it. But you go back and you read, and you'll understand that everything. So if something's wrong today with our government and it's gone haywire, it's because people, Christians, talking to the Christians. Christians have not read their Bible. And I understand this. As a younger man, I got, you know, this didn't really speak to me here, and I'm just looking for a verse of Scripture just to tell me something here that I can I can go get through this day with. And not realizing that there is so much depth and so much truth.
Yes.
And as I grow, this is why it's living, because it's speaking. Today I'm going to mention a prophecy that was given in Scripture. And I taught on this just a few months ago. But as I was preparing for this today, I saw something I had not seen before. And it's because I am deeper than I was a few months ago.
And that's the rhema.
And the Bible was already there.
Yes, already
speaking to it. I had not reached that depth, but it was already there. So
there's I'm sorry, didn't interrupt.
No,
throw a caution out, because and I believe firmly in what we're saying so thus far about the Bible is absolutely true, that it you go to the Bible, you read that prayerfully, and trust God is going to speak to your heart. But here's the thing, and we especially in this day, we are blessed with technology. If I want to know something, I have several ways of finding it out. You know, I've got my computer, my phone, and on my computer or my phone, I have several apps, several websites that usually, and I was talking jokingly about Lance, if he couldn't make his root canal, I could probably find a YouTube video and do it for him right here. But the point, that's a little, I would not do that, brother.
Please.
Nor do I practice medicine or anything like that. But the point being is that we have to approach the Bible with a different attitude, almost 180 degrees, because it's one thing, yes, I can get anything I want instantaneously almost when I want to know something.
Yeah.
But when it comes to me finally coming to the Word of God and seeking God's guidance, it probably won't happen instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this will be a work of prayer. It'll, you know, I pray for God. You know, people say, don't pray for patience or you'll get circumstances within which you have to be patient. But look, let's face it. If that's how my patience is sharpened, then give me the circumstances.
Right.
Absolutely.
But we have to be, part of that is being patient and trusting God. Because frankly, God is not a search engine. You know, he is not going to.
And we don't just pick and choose which parts of the Bible, which we've unfortunately have seen.
But the Bible is so readily available, like it we're saying, just in the other room, on a shelf in here,
on
under my
phone,
bed
on
over
our
here, on our phone, on our MacBook, that it just becomes another immediate source like a McDonald's.
Right.
You know, and it is not that. It is not that. God has been gracious to me at times where it has been like that. God, I need an answer. And he gave it to me. So, hey, guys, I want to mention, I have a couple of prophecies that are in Scripture. Can I mention a couple of them now? I've got three.
Why don't you throw them? Yeah, we're maybe 4 minutes out from a break.
Okay.
So
these are just three. It's full of prophecies, but there's one, Cyrus the Persian king. So this prophecy is fairly famous. Cyrus gave freedom to and funded the Jews to return to their homeland, to build their wall and rebuild the temple in 538 BC. Now, this was after the Babylonian captivity. The children of Israel had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And then the Persians and the Medes, they defeated the Babylonians, and the Jews were still there. And so Cyrus, who was king of the Persians, said, I give you permission to go back and build your wall and build your. What is beyond remarkable is that this was predicted 200 years before it happened by Isaiah in chapters 44 and 45.
Wow.
And he calls Cyrus by name. He says, my servant, my shepherd, Cyrus. Mm. And then he tells what he is going to do. And that's two centuries before Cyrus was even born. And so it may have been a self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe they showed this to Cyrus and say, hey, I think you're supposed to do this. But that's one that is remarkable. If you go back, just study in Scripture and see. Another one is Daniel's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Mm. So you have the Babylonians again, and the children of Israel are captive to the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king. He had a dream where four, and Daniel's interpretation was there, four conquering kingdoms were predicted to rise before the birth of Messiah. So you had the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. And this was all before, this was during the Babylonian reign, before these three kingdoms came to be. It is said that when the passage about the rise of the Greeks was read to Alexander the Great, he fell to his knees because there he was in these writings from 300 years before. Mm. And they also predicted his death and how his kingdom would be divided. And that actually came to pass. Now, some say, oh, no, that's a legend about Alexander. But here's the fact about Alexander. He ravaged nations that he went through.
Yeah.
And he destroyed them and he looted them. But when he came to Israel, after seeing this passage, he uncharacteristically left them alone. He took none of their holy treasures or their gold religious items, things he would have taken from anybody. But there was a respect there for this because of what he had read. So those are just a couple of things within Scripture that we know happened historically. And then I got one more, maybe I'll do a little later. But it's a prophecy about Christ himself and his crucifixion and how he sings this prophecy from the cross while he's hanging there.
The reason why you're saying this is because you're saying how the Word of God is true.
Well, this
that's
is,
what that's the whole reason.
Everybody's
right?
looking for miracles. Yeah. Everybody says, well, is this spiritual or not? We're saying it's spiritual. There is no answer or way of thinking about this unless it is spiritual. Unless the Spirit of God is in it, there's no way to have made these predictions.
Yeah.
And definitely this third one.
Yeah.
There's no way for it to happen if God is not ruling and reigning and part of what this book is saying.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Can I just say really
something? Yeah, go ahead.
We know that because we have fallen away from reading the Word of God that our nation has thus far followed in going away from the Lord. But you have to look at the hatred that people have against the Bible. That is irrational. And because it's irrational, it shows that it's spiritual. Okay? Like Texas is trying to bring biblical curriculum into the schools, which they already passed. But then you have teachers who are so mad, it's like an irrational mad, just to bring the Word of God in front of our kids. And they can even get a pass if a parent doesn't want their children to participate, you can actually get a pass. But there's such hatred against this, you know, what they're doing, and it shows that it's a spiritual battle that we're in right now, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
That is in every cultural thing that's going on, is the hatred against
spiritual.
Christ.
Yep.
Yes.
Irrational hatred against Christ and the Word of God.
Yep. And that is in the book of Ephesians that says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against heavenly realms.
Yes, we do.
And the principalities and powers, they really don't like the truth.
No.
And I'm not speaking about a truth, right? We're not relativism here. We're speaking about God's
truth. Yes.
You really hate
relative
that.
Truth.
Because when that truth is heard, then people's lives change and they won't buy that darkness anymore.
Yeah.
Right. You know, David, that was well said. A relative truth versus the truth. The truth of God is the truth. So if God said it, it is true.
Yeah.
God does not lie.
Yeah.
No. And it's in the Bible, although some people misinterpreting that and proof texting will point out what they think are inconsistencies
right
in the Word of God.
Well, you look at James Tallarico, who's running for Senate now in Texas. he cherry picks what he thinks is true about the Bible, and he actually believes in things that are completely opposite of what the Bible says.
He is right. He is an inconsistency himself.
He's not a Christian. He's
claiming to be.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how anybody from the church, even if they're a Democrat, can vote Democrat because they're siding against the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And this man is evil because he's claiming. He's claiming, number one, he's claiming that God is male and female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
It's one thing to be against the Word of God. It's another thing to say, no, I'm for it, and misinterpret it. That is a traitor.
It is.
That's committing treason against
you. Right. Heretical, exactly. For sure.
Well, at this point, if we can kind of shift to a break, give our listeners a chance to maybe stop panting and.
Hopefully this is tickling the ears of our
listeners. Well, maybe you might want to call, and we hope that you do. Give us a call. You may agree or disagree, and either way is fine with us. The number to call is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and I'll repeat that when we come back from the break.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Well, welcome back. I hope that break was helpful to you. It certainly was to us. We gave a little focus on where we're going to go, and that's always good, which means, where am I going to go? Well, I want to, during the break, Lance reminded us of something he'd been looking into, another biblical interpretation that he'd like to share with us. So let's just take it, Lance.
Amen. Yeah. Over there. My favorite, the best prophecy, I believe, in Scripture is this prophecy about Jesus and his crucifixion. Written 1,000 years before his death, and it's the one that Christ sings. This is a psalm, and he actually is singing it from the cross, and we'll find that, you can find that out as you go through it. And I just want to say this because this is in that book that's in your house, so I just try to inspire people, especially Christians, pick it up, study this, see that you are a part. You are a part of this story that's going on. But let me just talk a little through it. The psalm starts with the words that Christ first says from the cross. In other words, Christ's first words on the cross, he's quoting the 22nd psalm. He says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? And this is written by King David, the psalm, direct ancestor of Jesus, and it gives the account, the psalm gives the account of a man being tortured to death while others stand around and mock him. So this is one of the verses from this thing written 3,000 years ago.
Wait, so this is written by David, who lived how many years before Christ?
1,000 years before Christ.
Wow, okay.
So he's writing this for his son. So the heavenly father of Jesus is inspiring the earthly father of Jesus to write this psalm that he is going to need while he is on the cross.
Wow.
Everything else has forsaken him, but he has this.
Amen.
He has this. And he starts with, why have you forsaken me? But here he has this psalm. This is what it says. I'm just going to pick some passages from it. It says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Which means this guy is being put to death. There are people standing around and mocking him, which is exactly what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people did at that time. In fact, it's recorded in the three Gospels of the crucifixion.
Amen.
Well, that is exactly what is happening, and that is exactly what they're saying. It also gives details. So this is just one of the verses in the 22nd Psalm. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Mm. In other words, they gamble over Christ's robe. And it's so detailed, his garments. So Christ has a robe, but he also has garments over that. Mm-hmm. Well, those garments weren't as costly that he wore over it. So the soldiers divided his garments, as it says. But then when they got to the robe, they didn't want to divide it. And so they gambled for it. And it said that 1,000 years before. It's like Christ is reading. And he learned this psalm as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a movie script playing out in front of him.
Mm.
Here's another one of these verses. It says, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Take that in. 1,000 years before, they pierced my hands and my feet.
Verse 16.
That's what David wrote. Now, the rest of this prophecy, you could say this about this prophecy. Well, the writers of the Gospels, they knew this psalm, and so they were going to trick everybody, and they took and wrote the account of the crucifixion mirroring this Psalm 22. But with this piercing my hands and my feet, you have a problem, because this is obviously crucifixion.
Right.
And crucifixion wasn't invented until the Romans came along 700 years after David wrote it. So what the disciples would have had to have done is go back 300 years and tell the Romans to invent a method of execution that mirrors the 22nd Psalm written 700 years before. It's an impossibility. This is a prophecy made, and Jesus Christ is being comforted by it while he's on the cross.
I might also add, excuse me to interrupt, but they might also add that there were secular historians that recorded the fact Jesus was crucified.
Right.
Tacitus. Apart from his own disciples.
Josephus.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, so he's a secular historian who actually you can find proof that, Jesus was crucified.
Right, so it wasn't just the writers. And everybody,
Eusebius.
Everybody knows what
Eusebius,
how the Romans were crucifying.
Yeah.
Yet it was written about this crucifixion. In there it says, all my bones are out of joint. Well, that happens to a person when they're crucified. Their shoulders come apart, their elbow come apart, their hips come loose because they're sustaining their weight on their hands like that.
Mm-hmm. One of the prophecies from Psalm 34, verse 20.
Mm.
Now, they broke everybody's legs on the crosses.
Exactly.
Okay. Psalm 34, verse 20 says, because they didn't break Jesus' leg, they put the spear into his side.
Right.
And what does it say? It says, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is Jesus.
Because that's a detail. Yeah.
That's a detail.
They would break their legs so that they couldn't lift themselves up to fill their lungs with air.
Right.
But Jesus had been tortured, had been beaten, had been a sword in his side.
Right.
Thing in his side.
But not one of his bones was broken.
They
not
were out of joint, but they
weren't
broken.
Amen.
Hey, so let me finish this up. This is the best part of this is the last part. It's magnificent. It's mind blowing. It's the last part of the psalm talks about what the result is from this guy being put to death. What is the result of it? And this is how the psalm goes on. It says, this is the person being crucified. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. Will I praise thee? Now, remember, this is the guy that's dying that's
verse
saying,
22.
I am going to praise the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And Christ said that 1,000 years after it was written. And this is what he says then. He says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And he's saying, when you gather together in a congregation, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be praising Jehovah right along with my brethren. Now, as this psalm was being written, nobody knew how this was going to occur. How did this guy that was being tortured to death actually be able to praise God in the congregation after this? And yet we see how it's happening. So why is the crucified man praising God? This verse, for he, God, hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. Which means that he starts with, why have you forsaken me? And then God hears his prayer while he's on the cross and rescues him. So it's putting together all these things. This is what is the result. So who will it be that is gathering in this congregation? He says there's going to be a congregation. Because I've done this, because I've been put to death, and God has rescued me, there will be a gathering of a congregation. Who is that congregation? All the ends of the world shall remember and return and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of all the nations shall worship before thee. Now, we let that go by. But here is the definition of a man suffering the most ignoble death that you could suffer in a little backwater nation out here on a sandy hill in the spring. And somehow he is saying the result of this will be that all the nations of the earth will gather together in congregations and praise my God, Jehovah, because this has happened. It's written 1,000 years before it physically happened, and now here we are 2,000 years later. What are we going to do this Sunday? We're going to gather in a congregation. Why are we going to do it? Because God rescued Jesus Christ from the cross. The very thing that was said 3,000 years ago is what we fulfill today. It says, they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this. In other words, this is the final verse of the psalm. It says that he will declare God's righteousness unto a people that are not yet born. Who is that? It's us.
It's us.
It's the four of us right here. Yes. We're gathered together in Christ's name. He's in the midst of us. We're fulfilling this prophecy right now. 2.5 billion people, 1/3 of the entire earth, fulfill this prophecy, which is impossible to fulfill. Sunday.
And what does Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 say? Yep. Before you were in the womb, I knew you.
Right. Yeah. Before you were born, I made you a prophet.
What we're all trying to say is the Bible is a miracle in your hands.
It is a
living word. You look at Isaiah 53, which projects Jesus suffering on the cross, written 700 years before he was actually crucified.
Right, and the reason why we came to
you
this subject today, the reason why we came to this subject today is because the moral attitude of this nation is not acceptable. Can I say that? It's just not. I
mean, it's
I brought in the New York Post this morning.
Moral decline.
Moral decline. And here it says Zoawesome. Right, Zoawesome. See, it says Zoawesome. Yeah. Okay,
now what does that mean?
Zoran
Mondami is the mayor.
The mayor of New York.
Now, since he's been elected, the homeless are starting to come back onto the streets, and the ugliness is coming back to form. The homeless, the needles are out on the street again. Vagrants at sprawling New York City encampment sing praises for the mayor. So, the mayor is anti-God, anti-Jesus.
Well, yeah.
Right?
He's
a Muslim. So, and his attitude towards this is that these homeless have the availability to run the streets and create chaos in the city.
Yeah.
Create chaos. And who is God? God is order, law, and order.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
So 2.5 billion people are going to worship him this weekend, and the opposite, the Zoe is.
Just going to inject, I promised I'd invite you to call, and I didn't do it when we came back from the break. So the number to call, if you want to call, is 772-221-1100. You may have a comment. We'd love to hear it. 772-221-1100. Back to you guys.
No. I thought a guy strumming on a harp 3,000 years ago, King David, writes a song that is lived out by his son 1,000 years later, and the results of that 2,000 years later, we're living out today. It could not happen. It's an absurdity that this item, the Bible, that this book exists among humanity today, and we are not availing ourselves of it. It's, we will be judged by the book for not reading it.
No, you, we will be. Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
We had a caller one time. We had a caller saying that you can't pick up problems that are going on around the around the United States right now, the problems that are going on, the people that are coming into office by the Christians voting for them, these situations, the lies, the theft, the DEI, the transphobia, whatever,
transgenderism,
all right? And everybody accepting that. They said that you can't put that on people, Christians, because they didn't vote for the transgender, but they're voting to support the platform.
Are you saying the speaker said that we can't accept responsibility when those things,
that's
those
what
policies came in
it's
place because we didn't vote them in?
They didn't vote the transgender in. What people do with their lives. Like one time I had the conversation, and he was a Christian Democrat, and he's saying that it's not up to him to not vote or to vote for the transgender. He's voting. He's saying he's voting for the person that's running as a Democrat. He's not voting for the agendas. He's voting as the person who's running for that platform.
Makes
running.
No sense.
Well, that person has an agenda.
Right. So, and this is it. This is, and I can't even express this clearly because it's a little bit, if you're a Christian and you don't read the Bible, God tells us to listen to his wisdom, to listen to his knowledge, to listen to his understanding, and to get that. In Romans, it talks about the gay community, how that goes against the word of God.
Right.
So if you're voting for the gay community, you're going against the word of God.
Or the lifestyle.
Or anybody that's running to support that community.
There's not one out of 10 Christians that know about that passage in the first chapter of Romans that talks about men lusting after other men. They don't know that it's there because they've been told over and over from their pulpits a lot of times that it says nothing about homosexuality.
But people have to not listen to
they have to go to themselves
and not read the word. And not just trust. When we study, we all do devotions. And I feel convicted sometimes because if I'm turning on sermons more than I'm actually going to the actual word of God, you're trusting a man to interpret it for you, and that man may not be interpreting it correctly.
Yeah.
The Bible is the final. It's the final authority. It's the word of God.
And if you're going through a situation, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where you read, "Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will help you and I will strengthen you." This is coming from God to help you get through whatever it is that you're getting through. "I will lift you up." Is
and
what
you
the
can
Lord
believe
says.
That.
You can believe it because it's the truth.
This was the point I was making.
Right. God does not lie.
If he can predict in 3,000 years, from writing 3,000 years ago, that one-third of the earth is going to be involved every week in this activity of gathering congregations and praising the God of the guy who died on the cross, and it was predicted 3,000 years ago, then you can trust that he's going to help you in your life.
He is alive. And this is, I got to share this. Yesterday, I was out on the street, and I'm at a courthouse, and I'm handing out tracts. There's a guy waiting for his wife. He's in the parking lot, and he sees me out there. He comes to me. This guy was sentenced to life in prison. He committed, they accused him of committing a murder.
Wow.
He was, and this is from 2007, and I'm going to say he was broken English. But he was expressing what Jesus did, what Jesus Christ did for him.
Yeah.
And here's a man that was committed to life in prison. And what happened, and he said that people started praying for him. He was, he was on a hayride, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he got falsely convicted of murder. 2007, this happened. And this is what I got from his broken English. But his mother gave him a Bible in gave him a Bible in prison.
Yeah.
She said that the pastor of this church was praying for him. The pastor of this church was praying for him. The pastor of this church was praying for him. So all of a sudden, the Lord had him moved from one facility to another facility, a hardened facility, to a softer facility in prison. And do you know that God turned the situation around? He had the person who actually committed the crime come and confess to the crime. Come and confess to the crime. And that person got out of jail. He's standing there telling me the story, his testimony, and he is crying tears of joy and who Jesus is.
Yeah.
And we can't express it enough, what Jesus did for me. Jesus delivered me from smoking, drinking, gambling, right? The person that I was, to be able to be a father to my son.
Amen.
Right? And to be a husband to my wife.
Yeah.
But this is the person, this is who Jesus did. He broke chains off of my body.
Right.
And by reading the Word of God, to start to have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right. And then live out what those words are saying and be an example for the world. That is how it works.
Right. Don't force it. Don't think that you're going to change yourself.
Yeah.
Let God come into your life and change and sanctification.
Through the Word.
Yeah.
And as
it
the
only
Lord
comes
said,
as you read the Word of
right.
God. Right.
Enjoy the journey. We talked about Greg before. Greg is on his journey, and that's what he keeps saying to me, right? I'm on my journey, right? And I tell people, when you come to the Lord, hang on for the ride.
Yeah.
No, really, hang on for the ride. Because there's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster sometimes.
Yeah. Still is.
Didn't I use that analogy at one of our programs?
Yeah.
Yes. Still true.
It's not all cakewalk when you become a Christian, because he said, in this world we will have tribulations. But the hope still remains inside of us.
Amen. Where'd you find that?
In the Bible.
In the Bible. Oh, lo and behold.
Right. Our hope anchored in Jesus Christ anchors the soul.
Yeah.
He's the only way into the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rock.
The rock.
Is the only way.
Right.
Yeah. It says in Revelation, it tells us. It says someday the sea will pass away. And what it's talking about is the never ending undulation of those waves and constantly being tossed about in this life. But if you're looking for something that has foundation, is that's what it says about Abraham. He looked for a city that was built of God, a city that had foundation, where I could live. I can trust. I can spend my life. That is who God is. And he has outlined that whole story is outlined. The outline of our life and countless others outlined in Scripture to give us examples, to help us understand who we are and where we are. I'm an old man now.
Peter 3:18.
I'm way ahead of you, bro.
Oh, I know.
You're a younger man from my perspective.
But right? I still have seen.
Yeah.
I have seen the Word of God be true.
Amen. Amen.
Tasted and seen.
I think we need to just let our listeners know, maybe they want to recommit their lives to Jesus again. If they haven't picked up the Word of God, it's just a matter of saying, Jesus, I'm going to get back in your Word, and just picking it up. Pick it up. You know, when you stop listening to us, pick it up this evening before you go to bed. It's just a matter of just picking it up, you know?
Yeah.
Or you can audio it, too. I told my Google speaker to speak scripture to me as I was getting ready, because I can't physically read what I'm changing. There's so many ways to get the Word of God.
If you
can't read, there's audio on the Bible app. There's so many different ways.
And what I would say, if you're not accustomed to reading the Bible on a regular basis, and you're maybe feeling like you're under conviction because of that, do not. This was great given to me when I first met the Lord, because suddenly I said, I missed all those years. I'm going to really jump down on this. I may spend hours a day with, well, what's going to happen is you're going to get frustrated.
Right.
Yeah.
So pick, how much time can you start? 5 minutes? Some people, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
10, 15, whatever. But don't put a load of guilt on yourself so that you end up overburdening with a discipline you're not going to be able to meet.
There's no condemnation.
Start out slow and let it build.
His arm is not short. He can reach you where you are with a word or two. But man, immerse yourself in. It is the bread of life. That's what he told Satan.
Yeah.
Turn these stones to bread. He said.
It's our spiritual food.
Yeah. And he told his disciples when they came back with the woman at the well, I have meat. I have food that you know not of. Mm-hmm. Just being able to read. And he spoke the word of God. Mm-hmm. He himself being the word of God.
The disciple Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not to run away from him, but to run into him.
And where are you going to find that knowledge?
Right? Yeah. Where are you going to find that knowledge? In the word of God, in the Bible.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things, and we talked about this yesterday, nobody believes Noah's Ark. Nobody believes Jonah the whale, right? These are stories that it's
fables.
Just like, they write fables. They didn't happen. But here's the reality of it. They built the Ark, and it's in the state of Kentucky right now. It's laid out exactly.
The replica of the Ark.
The replica of the Ark, exactly as the Lord commanded Noah to build.
Yes. Right.
So if you're going to deny the word of God, right, and it's visible to you, God is giving you... God is giving you a visible, what's the word that I'm looking for? Visible.
I don't know. Right.
Proof. Visible proof. Thank you. Yeah. I couldn't spit it out.
That thing can be built.
It can be built. And it took Noah. Here's the difference. Man did it the way that they did it now. They did it in a couple of years because there was a lot of them building and putting it together. Noah and his sons, it took 100 years to put that boat together.
And there's proof that.
And that's faith.
Yes, there's proof, right? They found the actual ark.
Right. I want to throw this in because we have to go in a couple of minutes. But
yes.
For those of you that, you know we're talking to you, right? You know, maybe you're not into the word as much or at all. I'm going to recommend that you begin your discipline by going to Luke chapter 24.
Mm, good.
And beginning in verse 13, this is a story that I believe God will put you in the midst of the story and promise you that what's happening to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, which follows the resurrection, right? And I won't read the whole story. I want you to read it. That's Luke 24, starting with the verse 13. It's two disciples. Jesus had been crucified and been in the tomb 3 days. He was resurrected, but they didn't know. They were heading back. They're getting away. They're getting out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're on the way to Emmaus. They're going to spend the night. Somebody joins them on the way.
Yeah.
It's Jesus, but they don't recognize him at that point. But he's asking them, what's going on? And the scripture says in verse 16,
What's happening, guys?
Their eyes were kept from recognizing.
That's so cool.
So he asked, what are you talking about? And they said, you don't know? You know, I mean, I'm paraphrasing. You're the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened. They give him the whole story of what happened. He tells them the whole story of Jesus being who he was, his crucifixion. And anyway, Jesus begins to teach them out of the word and brings the word of God together for them for their understanding. And while they're walking, and he really, you got to read this because I'm telling you, put yourself as a disciple in the story.
Right.
And you can claim for yourself what Jesus is doing, the burning in your spirit, that it is God. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Is gonna, not maybe, not possibly, but when you commit to the word, the Holy Spirit is gonna give you what you need.
Yeah.
Yes.
And with that, and that's a little bit of Holy Spirit guidance I offer to you, but our time is up.
Wow.
Keith and Lance and Ann, thank you for being with us. Maybe next week some people will call. You know, the phones are working at both ends, hopefully. And we'll make the invitation again. Until then, God bless you and keep you. And get into the Word.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.